All right, if you start making your way back in, we'll get started. All right, we'll go ahead and get started again. Appreciate the message. Looking forward to other messages this morning. But let's go ahead and stand, and we'll turn to page 124, Set My Soul Afire. Page 124, we'll sing all three verses of this one this morning. Page 124, Set My Soul Afire.
Set my soul afire, Lord, for thy holy word. Burn it deep within me. Let your voice be heard. Millions grope in darkness in this day and hour. I will be your witness. Fill me with thy power. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of thy saving power. Millions grope in darkness, waiting for thy word. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Set my soul afire, Lord, for the lost in sin. To me a passion as I seek to win. Help me not to falter. Never let me fail. Fill me with thy spirit. Let thy will prevail. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of thy saving power. Millions grope in darkness, waiting for thy word. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire.
All right, before we start this next verse, if you were not here last night, and you're in the ministry, pastor, assistant, missionary, evangelist, if you'll come and sit right up here real quick, Brother Hanks and Shipmans, if you'll come. If you were not here last night and you are in the ministry, come on up and sit here. We want to honor you real quick after this. Let's sing the last verse. Ready?
Set my soul afire, Lord, in my daily life. Far too long I've wandered in this day of strife. Nothing else will matter but to live for thee. I will be your witness as you live in me. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of thy saving power. Millions grope in darkness, waiting for thy word. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire.
All right. right, you may be seated. And we honored some men last night, and I'm pro-American, pro-military, and we honor our veterans, and we wanted to honor our men of God that have been in the ministry over 30 years. And you've been in the ministry, Brother Hanks, for 31? 20. That's close enough. You've been 13, okay? So you two come up real quick. And I appreciate you men. And just as we would honor veterans that have been to war or signed up to give their lives for our country, I appreciate you both and the men that have been in the ministry for over 30 years, and I appreciate you both. And I ran out of pens, but I'll get you a pen that we want to give to you. And but I want to give you a gift card from from Bethel Baptist Church. You'll just introduce yourselves and tell who you are, where you're from, and how long you've been in the ministry.
Jared Shimon, pastor, Gospel Light Baptist Church in Kansas City. We've been there for 23 years and been in the ministry for 29.
We're actually 30 minutes from each other, but we have to travel 2.5 hours to see each other. Anyway. Pastor Heritage Baptist Church in Lawrence, Kansas, and I've been there 31 years.
Right. And today is a special day. It's Brother Hanks' birthday today, and he's one of those older preachers.
Whoa.
No, let's sing happy birthday to Brother Hanks this morning, baby.
Thanks a lot.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Appreciate you. Amen. Tell us where you minister and your name and.
John Magus. I pastor the Lansing Baptist Church. I've been there for 2 years. We planted that church 2 years ago, and just excited about what the Lord's doing. I pastored at Solid Rock Baptist Church for 10 years in Parkville, Missouri, in a storefront, and God gave us a building, so we're excited.
My name is Jacobson Danson. I've been serving with Brother Yoder since October. I'm his assistant pastor, and I graduated from Heartland last year, interned with him a couple of years ago, so it's just been a blessing. And yeah, I'm the youngin', yeah, just a couple of months so far.
All right, Calvary Trio is going to come and sing for us, and I appreciate this group, appreciate Brother Collins, and they're singing Honor and Glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ, and appreciate their ministry. Not necessarily appreciate Miss Martha, but I've known Miss Martha since I was a teenager, and yesterday she insulted me, calling me old. So you have to understand that. But I do appreciate you, and after you sing, if you'll give a testimony on the way the ministry's going.
When the walls are closing in and you can't see the light, it's the opening door that sets you free. When your burdens are too heavy to carry one more mile, it's the strength to keep the fight and just believe. It's the peace in the valley. It's the joy in the pain. It's the pardon for sinners when they call on Jesus' name. Some call it marvelous. Some call it amazing. Some call it wonderful. Boundless and life-changing. Some call it
sufficient for every problem that you'll face. The hope for every soul who's lost their way. God calls it grace. When you feel discouraged and think you could never change, it's the power of God that makes it so you can. When you're worried that His mercy will leave you far behind, it's knowing nothing can take you from His hand. It's the song in your spirit. It's the promise of His love. When you've tried and failed and found that you're not good enough, some call it marvelous, some call it amazing, some call it wonderful, boundless and life-changing, some call it sufficient for every problem that you'll face. The hope for every soul who's lost their way, God calls it grace. Grace for all your weakness, grace for your mistakes, grace never failing, that will never fade away. Some call it marvelous, some call it amazing, some call it wonderful, boundless and life-changing, some call it sufficient for every problem that you'll face. The hope for every soul who's lost their way, God calls it grace, grace, God's grace. The hope for every soul who's lost their way, God calls it grace, God calls it grace.
I don't have a sad story I can tell you. I've been blessed beyond what I deserve. How my heart overflows to think of everything He's done. His goodness can't be put into words. I never make it without Jesus. He is my closest, dearest friend. He's never anything but good to me. I've no regrets that I chose to live for Him. Never once has His love reached its limits. Even though I've failed Him many times, I have given Him a million different reasons to walk away, but not a single one has ever changed His mind. Never make it without Jesus. He is my closest, dearest friend. He's never anything but good to me. I've no regrets that I chose to live for Him.
no regrets,
that I trusted him to save me.
No regrets that I'm not on my way to hell. No regrets, though he leads me through the valley dark and cold. With the shepherd by my side, all is well. I never make it without Jesus. He is my closest, nearest friend. He's never anything but good to me. I've no regrets that I chose to live for him. He's never anything but good to me. I've no regrets that I chose to live for him.
Amen. Brother Swope asked me to give a testimony about our church and our ministry. If I could give a quick personal testimony, that's it right there. No regrets that I chose to give my life to the Lord years ago. And with our church and our ministry, I honestly feel inadequate just to stand up here and talk about it because many of you know how our church and ministry was started back in 1977. Dr. Jerry McDonald Sr. Moved from Oklahoma City. And he pastored the Meridian Avenue Baptist Church there in Oklahoma City. And it was a thriving church and a large number of members and a large bus ministry. And the Lord called him to move down to a little town, Eufaula, Oklahoma. And I actually started just a little bit south of there in Canadian, Oklahoma, and started the Calvary Baptist Church and the Calvary Baptist Ministries, which back then included the Calvary Boys Ranch. And God just has used that ministry. This is back before my time, before I was even born. And I was born in 1982 in Arkansas. And God's used some great men like Brother Jerry McDonald, and many of you know Brother Tim Knight. His son Daniel was here last night. Brother Tim served there at our ministry for 44 years, and the Lord has just used them in such a great way. And I got to sit under those men for Brother Tim for 20 years and Brother McDonald for 14 years. And many of you know he went to heaven back in 2012. And my father-in-law, Dr. Jerry McDonald Jr., became the pastor and director of the ministries there in 2012. He pastored there for 10 years. And just about 5 years ago, he felt that the Lord was leading him to step down and to retire from the pastorate and to go full-time on the road. And he also had some health issues that he was dealing with, had a triple bypass heart surgery, and the Lord was good and has healed him from that. He's back on the road now. And the Lord has just blessed our ministry. And we, back in 1988, and some may not know this, the complete story of this, but in 1988, Pastor Bill Marshall came and the Lord used the ministry there to help him get his life straightened out and get his life back on track with the Lord. And God called him to preach. And Brother Bill, I know you know this, but you were the inspiration for Brother McDonald starting the City of Refuge program and continuing it on. He was the first man, and the Lord has been using that since 1988. And now that is our primary ministry. It's our City of Refuge. And Brother Stowe is named after Brother Roloff's ministry there down in Corpus Christi. And Brother Roloff and Brother McDonald were very close. And we also have added, just in the last 10 years, added a ministry called our Cabins of Hope. And we have an opportunity for couples to even come together and to be there and to allow the Lord to work in their lives. And we don't necessarily claim to have any, special sauce or some special program other than the Word of God, and a place where men and couples can come and allow God to change their life. And many times people need to get away from the area or the place that they've been in, especially if there's maybe an addiction to drugs and they've had access to those type of things and things that have been pulling them away from the Lord. We're a place that they can come and just focus on the Lord. and to be in a place of accountability where our staff can teach them, to even train them, disciple them, and also they can have some more accountability than may have been available back at their home church and back in their hometown. And so we just believe the Lord has called us to that ministry, and we've seen God do some wonderful things. And not everyone gets the help that we would like for them to get. Some choose to leave early, or some choose that they don't really want to finish the program. But we've seen God work in people's lives, and I would say there's a high percentage of success rate for those who stay and keep their commitment. Brother Stowe, there is something about not quitting, and some about just finishing what you started. And we're thankful that God has given us the opportunity to have a ministry where people can come, focus on the Lord, and get their life right with the Lord. So thank you, Brother Swope, for the chance to be here.
All right, let's stand and turn to page number 28. We can all sing, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." We'll sing all three verses of this one this morning. Page number 28. We got new hymn books, and sometimes they're hard to get open. Page number 28, all three verses.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. I have needed Thy hand, have provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. On the third, pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. For today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
May be seated, and all God's people said, love that last phrase. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. So, Brother Hanks, if you'll come on up. Lynn Holmes are going to sing, and then Brother Hanks is going to preach. I appreciate Brother Hanks. We haven't known each other for many decades, but he's a true friend. And call him often, and he's just always been helpful with his not only his preaching, his friendship, and the material he writes and things like that has been a huge blessing. And I appreciate you. Appreciate a man that just found a place and put in his shoes and just kept going. So I appreciate you, Brother Hanks. Thank God for you. Thanks for coming. And when they're done, come preach for us, okay?
There will come a day, I know without a doubt, around the throne the saints will bow and lay down every crown. How glorious that moment to see him face to face, to hear him say, "Well done, my child, you finished the race."
But for now the sun's still rising, there's work to still be done.
While we're waiting for the promise of what is yet to come, finish well. Every day that we are given, finish well. For the glory of his name, finish strong. Until the Savior finally calls us home, give it everything we have, finish well.
There's no truth in saying we've seen our better days. These are the days to be courageous, bold and full of faith.
So wherever he may lead us, whatever it may cause, let the church arise and lift the banner of the cross. Finish well. Every day that we are given, finish well. For the glory of his name, finish strong. Until the Savior finally calls us home, give it everything we have, finish well. Every day that we are given, finish well. For the glory of his name, finish well. Finish well.
All right, thank you so much for that. It's a blessing to be here. Brother Swope is a friend to us, and again, he's been very kind to us over the years. I want you to know that he had a birthday this last week, and he's older than I am. I just want to stress that. Mrs. Bear, you were completely right about him being old. He is in his 60s, all right? And so you need to pray for him, all right? He is aging very, very. He said, "How close am I?" Let's get into the Word of God. And I turned 57 today, and you know what? That sounds a lot like 60. And I always thought Brother Swope was younger than I all these years. In the last few years, I recognized by looking at him, he's a lot older than I. But praise the Lord. Thanks again for being here this morning. It's always a blessing. You know, I don't do much humor, but I was thinking about a story that was told to me about a little boy. He walked into a grocery store. And he got a big, large box of detergent. And the grocer went over to him and said, "Son, what do you need such a large box for?" He says, "Well, I need to give my cat a bath." And the grocer guy there, he said, "You know, I don't think I would do that. In fact, that detergent will probably either hurt him or kill him." And he said, "No, I'm going to give him a bath." And so he goes home. And about a week or two later, he comes back in there. And the grocer looked at him. And, of course, he was in there to get candy this time. And he said to the little boy, he says, "Hey, how did that turn out, giving that cat a bath?" He says, "Well, the cat died." He said, "Oh, I don't want to tell you, I told you so, but I said that detergent I told you was not good for that cat." He said, "No, I don't think it was the detergent, it was the spin cycle." You know, I can tell now which of you are cat lovers in here. You don't go like, when you think of a cat, you say, "Okay, another one's gone." That's all you say, all right? I got a lady in our church who's a cat lover, and I'm not a cat lover, all right? I've met pastors that are cat lovers. I question their call to the ministry. That is crazy, all right? Don't even tell me you like cats, all right? Cats aren't in heaven, by the way, all right? We might as well just destroy it all right now, all right? But I think they are in hell somewhere in the Bible. It says that. But anyway. All right, grab your Bible. I know that I've ruined the spirit, all right, this morning. I can tell right now which one of you love cats already. Amen. Acts chapter 27 this morning. Acts chapter 27. If you grab your Bible, we'll turn there together. Acts chapter 27. Father, thank you again for what we've already heard. Lord, thank you for Pastor Stowe. And Lord, thank you for his many years of faithfulness. Thank you again for what he preached this morning. A reminder to all of us, Lord, to stay faithful. Lord, it's so easy to make excuses. And Father, help us, Father, do our best for thee. Lord, thank you for Pastor Swope. Thank you for the church. My Father, again, use Brother Davidson here in the next hour. Give him the message as well. Lord, feed us this morning from your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, before I start, I just want to say I like the auditorium. I know for the Bethel Baptist Church, this is a remodel for you. And I want to tell you, a remodel building, anything like that, it's a major ordeal. And so it's neat to come in. And, of course, having the new chairs, you get all comfortable. Don't go to sleep, but they're comfortable. And, again, I appreciate all of this. And, again, I'm happy for you very much. Acts chapter 27 is a familiar story. It's a story of Paul on a boat heading to Rome. We know the previous chapters that Paul, of course, goes before the authorities. And obviously, the Lord had his plan as far as him going and standing for Caesar in Rome. And, of course, while he's there, is on his way there, you're going to find this particular ship. And, of course, there's a storm, Euroclydon. And, of course, you've probably heard many messages on this particular passage about him being in a storm. Now, I don't want to talk necessarily this morning about the storms of life that we go through, though we're going to go through storms. I think one of the key parts of this passage when he says you better stay in the boat, I think what a picture of staying in church. And so, again, I think there's a lot of things that can be learned from that. But I want to kind of go just a little bit different direction this morning. And so grab your Bible there and look down in verse number 20. We'll just read just a small portion of this passage. In Acts chapter 27, verse number 20, the Bible says this. It says, "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, 'Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country." Now, I'm going to stop there for just a moment. I'll probably read a little bit more of the passage. We understand what's about to take place here. Church family, in verse number 27, the Bible tells us how many 37, the Bible tells us how many people are on board. And we were all in the ship 200, 316 souls. How many is that? 200. Am I on? Can you hear me? Can you all hear me okay? I'm really pushing to get volume out. I just want to make sure you all could hear me. I don't mind yelling and screaming, but just as long as we're on the same page, as long as you can hear okay. All right, turn me just a shade if you don't mind. And I don't need to hear myself, but I want to make sure that you can hear me. Hey, I want you to understand that Paul's on this boat with 276 people. And the phrase I want you to really notice this morning is this one in verse number 24. The last phrase of verse 24 says this, all them that sail with thee. Think about that. Church family, he didn't say to Apostle Paul, hey, listen, I'm going to save all those people that you're sailing with. Are y'all with me this morning? I want you to notice the exact wording of that statement. He said, them that sail with thee. Now, I didn't read the passage this morning with you, but Julius was the person who was the centurion that had all these 100 soldiers that were taking these prisoners to Rome. It doesn't tell us the name of the person who built the boat, but he obviously must have been around because they listened to the person who built the boat instead of listening to Apostle Paul when he said, hey, listen, you better not continue in this voyage. There's a couple other people that are mentioned in this passage, but it's interesting to me that God's the one that said that. God's the one that said, them that sail with thee. It wasn't a matter of Paul. Now, you're with these people on the boat, and I think you need to listen to them. Or you're with these people on the boat. You need to preach to them. No, what God said is, I'm going to save them that sail with thee. Now, I want you to think this morning, it doesn't matter if you're a pastor this morning or not, you have a boat, and there's people who sail with you. And it's important for us to be conscious that we influence a lot of people. When he talked a few moments ago about not quitting, I want to tell you something. When a person quits, they don't just affect themselves. They affect their family and everybody else that they're influencing. I meet people all the time. They don't think that they have much of a bubble or much of an influence. Can I tell you that people don't get saved oftentimes at a church because of the amazing pastor that was preaching? It was because of the person that brought them to church. It's because of the person that they worked with or a family member. They have influence. Every person has a boat. And you influence people on your boat. And you might think, Pastor Hank, oh, come on, that has anything to do with me. Just read your Bible. I mean, when you look at Joseph, the Bible says that God blessed Potiphar for Joseph's sake. And by the way, when we talk about Job's hedge wasn't just about him. The Bible says his hedge was about him, his house, and all that he had. That means those donkeys had a hedge because of Job. Laban. Jacob, of course, was taken advantage of, and Laban thought that he was the answer to Jacob getting his wife and children and all the animals. But the Bible says when it came down to it 20 years later, Laban said, I have learned by experience that God has blessed me because of you. Now, I'm just telling you this morning that on that boat, 275 people were sailing with Apostle Paul, and they might have thought they were sailing with a captain or they were sailing with the centurion, but I want to tell you who they were sailing with. They were sailing with Paul. They were sailing with Paul, them that are with thee. Now, this morning, I want you to think about what Paul did for those in his boat. By the way, the same thing you ought to be doing with those in your boat. Well, I'm just a mother. Then you have people in your boat. You know, I'm just a teenager. And you go to a church and you have a youth group or you've got siblings. Then you've got people in your boat. By the way, I'm amazed that pastors forget you're in a boat. Those people aren't in your church because you're a great preacher. Those people are in your church because God gave you to them as a gift, which means God brought people to put in your boat. So what should we think about this morning? I want you to think about Paul as far as what he did for those in his boat. And if I can say it this way, them that sail with thee. I want you to jump down here and just look at the few verses this morning. And again, I'll do my best to hurry this morning. Again, I'm not usually long-winded. And of course, we want to get to Brother Davidson here shortly. I want you to look in verse number 21 with me. I want you to notice them that sail with you. In verse 21, the Bible says, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. Now, by the way, that's the last thing a person wants to hear. You should have listened to me. But by the way, that's what pastors want to do, but pastors don't do that because pastors don't want to offend people most of the time. We'd like to say, hey, listen. How many church services have you sat in and you've heard me from the Word of God tell you you shouldn't do that? I had a guy come into my office, and he did something really, really stupid. I don't remember what it was, but he did something really stupid. And he was a young man, and I told him, I said, listen, his name was John. John, why did you do that? Well, he gave me some layman excuse. And then I said, how come you didn't just come ask me or come talk to me? And you know what he said? He said what everybody's thinking, but they don't say. Well, I knew what you were going to tell me. And I think you're an idiot. But we don't say that. But I want to just tell you something. What Paul was trying to say is, if you wouldn't have, if you'd have just listened to me, wouldn't have had all the harm to the boat and to others. Look what he says next, though, in verse number 22. And now I exhort you to be of good. What's the word? Verse 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good. What? Look at verse 36. Then were they all of good. What? Cheer. Now, can I tell you what you ought to do for those in your boat? Can I tell you what Paul did for those that were in the boat? They were sailing with him. He cheered them up. I want to tell you something. There's some people that bring joy when they walk into the room, and there's some people that bring joy when they leave the room. I don't understand why we as Christians, we ought to be the happiest people around, but the people in our boat are not happy because we're not happy. I shook hands with, you know, when you go to a church, you ought to shake hands. In my opinion, by the way, if you're visiting, you ought to shake hands. If I'm on vacation, I don't go sit down. I'm not a visitor. I shake hands with people. You ought to shake hands with people. But I'm going to tell you, so many people all the time, hi, how are you? It's like the only language they have. I want to tell you something. The fruit of the Spirit is love, what?
Joy.
You ought to be happy. And the people on your boat ought to be happy because you're happy. This is crazy. I wouldn't want to go to an independent Baptist church if I felt like I was going to a funeral home every service. I wouldn't want to go to a church if everybody I had come up, I want to shake their hand and they can't even smile. Every day is a bad day. There's people in your boat. I'm talking about moms and dads that have children. It ought not to be one of the things that kids, when mom and dad comes home, that they ought not to want to see mom and dad. But mom and dad comes home and complain about the day and how bad things are. I want to tell you something. The worst day that we have is not anything compared to the person burning in hell right now. Ought to be happy. You ought to bring cheer. And by the way, you can't, I call it cheer-upper. You can't be a cheer-upper if you're not happy. And by the way you're happy, you put happy things in, you get happy things out. And by the way, the average Christian is not happy because they don't read their Bible. Rejoice in the Lord. Really? Does it say that? We don't act like it. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I want to tell you, put the word of God in. By the way, you want to be happy? Be around happy people. Brother Shipman and I don't ever see each other 30 minutes away. He's got a sin problem. He doesn't like being around me. I don't know his problems. But whenever we do get together, he cuts up. He comes down here to the front. He's making fun of me down here before he goes up there. You know what I like about Brother Shipman? He's got a sense of humor. He can laugh. He can smile. Son, you ought to smile every day of your life, because if you look in a mirror anytime, you're going to see something funny, all righty? There ought to be some joy. I'm just telling you, there's people on our boat, and we got so many of our young people that are not staying in church, and once they get to be 18 years old, they think they got their freedom, and they get out of a fundamental independent Baptist church, and I want to tell you where they're going. They're going to these non-denominational junk. Their music appeals to the flesh. They're not going to use the Bible. They're going to tell you all the how-tos. They don't want a Baptist preacher that stands up there and says, thus saith the Lord. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering. They don't want that. But part of the reason they don't want it is because they don't see any joy. And I know preaching can sometimes be heavy, but can I just tell you something? It's not really about the preaching. It's about the people who are there.
That's true. Yes.
Man, there's people in your boat. You ought to be cheering them up. Don't dwell on negative things. You know, some of you get happy to stop checking your Facebook. Have you figured out by now that what people put on Facebook is usually not the truth? It's what they want you to know? That's the stupidest thing in the world to me, and I don't even want to get there. Why in the world? I just want to tell you what I'm eating. I'm having pizza. I could care less what you're eating. And by the way, I hate to burst your bubble. Nobody else cares what you're eating either. You think you're that important because you got all these followers? Them that sail with you, cheer them up. You're a Christian. You're saved. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. Second thing I want you to notice, look at verse number 23. He says, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, in other words, God speaking to him now, speaking to Paul, verse 24, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. He, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Yeah. You know what Paul did for the people in his boat? He told them what God said. He told them what God said. And I know there's pastors here this morning, but it's a Christian thing to talk about what God is doing in your life and what God shares with you. Church, listen, when I was 16, 17 years old, for my own devotions, I would write down my devotions, what the Lord gave me. And I was studying the book of Proverbs at the time, and I wrote all of my notes on. And I never taught one of them. In fact, to this day, I don't think I've ever taught them per se or preached them. But I wrote, my devotions was the men and women of Proverbs. I want to tell you, at 17, 18 years old, when God gave me those devotions and put it in a print, nobody wanted to read it. But that's been put into a book, and people, pastors have preached them from their pulpit. They've used them in colleges. They've used them in Sunday. They've been formatted in different languages. But can I tell you something? When that book was written, it wasn't meant to be preached or taught. It was just what God gave me. When's the last time you talked about what God gave you? When's the last time you memorized a verse that really challenged you or changed you in some way, and you shared it with somebody else? Well, you know, I just don't have it. There's people in your boat.
Yes, that's right.
Well, they might not appreciate. Who cares if they appreciate it? I want to tell you, there were 275 people on that boat. They'd appreciated that there was somebody. After 14 days of darkness, where the Bible says the sun and moon was not even shown, and Euroclodon was moving that boat all over the place, and they're throwing the food, the wheat, off the ship, and they're undergirding the boat because they thought it was going to fall apart. They were glad there was somebody that got a hold of God.
Yes, sir.
Pastor Stowe, what he said a few moments ago, I wrote him down, but he's exactly right. That's why people quit. You pray for a congregation, and you got some of those people in the congregation, you know, they sit in the service. And I've had them sit in my service, and I'm not lying, Brother Stowe. I've had people sit in my service before while I'm preaching and put their hands over their ears and shake their head like this. And Brother David said, I'm not a good Christian, but I'm going to tell you something. There's stuff like that kind of stuff. I want to go over that and slap them. But you just kind of... Because, by the way, there's a whole lot of other people that need help besides that one idiot. There's always going to be people in the auditorium that are not behind you. There's always going to be people in the auditorium that are just there. But that's not everybody. In a crowd this size, there's somebody that's listening. And I'm talking about with spirit-filled ears. There's somebody that's wanting. There's somebody that's hungering and thirsty. Right? There's somebody that really wants to please God with their life. And they're not coming to church out of duty. They're coming out of church because they want God to do something. And if we're not careful, we get so consumed with the ones that don't like what's being preached or they don't like us. And we forget. It could be a young person. It could be a child. It could be a senior saint that's there, and God's trying to do something in their life. There's people in your boat, and I'm telling you, God shares things with you through his word and maybe through preaching. You ought to share it with others. Quickly, the next one I want you to notice, look at verse number 30. Something else about those in Paul's boat. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, and when they had let down the boat, kind of like a lifeboat, into the sea under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion, he didn't talk to the shipmen. The shipmen were the ones dropping the boat. That ought to tell you something. A shipman. Shipman. You know, I always knew there was something bad about those people. The shipmen. All right, I'm sorry, back to where we're going. Verse number 31. But Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers, not the shipmen, the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. Hey, church, can I just remind you that there's people in your boat, they need somebody to cheer them up. There's people in your boat that need to hear a word from God. And there's people in your boat that you got to warn them. Hey, what you're about to do is going to mess you up. It's not good for you. Young people, can I just say something? It's not just your pastor, your parent, your teachers. It ought to be you warning the people that you're growing up with. Why can't we have good peer pressure instead of just bad peer pressure? How come we can't have young people? Are you guys go to church here? You go to church here? Where do you go to church at? Oh, good, Brother Dutcher. But Dusher, I'm sorry, forgive me. Is he a good pastor? That's the right thing to say. He's sitting right there, right? All right, now you two guys chose to sit on the front row. Am I correct? Or is it mandatory for you to sit here? All right. I think that's a good thing you sit on the front row. Why does the person go to a basketball game? Do they buy tickets for the back row? Or do they buy it for the front row? Yeah, because you know what? That's where the action is. And you're not going to get distracted with the people who are sleeping out here. You can pay attention. I wish there was guys that would put the peer pressure on the other people to sit toward the front, to bring a Bible to church. Every once in a while, I'll have all the young people stand in our church and say, now show me your Bible in front of everybody. Because some of our parents, they're not paying attention. Kid come to church, not bring their Bible? Yeah. What are we in church for? Right. I didn't come for a lecture. I want to know what God says. Amen. That's good. There's people in your boat. Cheer them up. There's people in your boat. Give them a word from God. There's people in your boat. Warn them. Yeah. The word saved is used there. We can't about help but think about, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right. Listen, I'm talking to a variety of churches this morning. When a person walks into your church, what's the name of your church? It's not his church. It's your church. Well, it's his church too because he goes there, but it's your church. He shouldn't have to preach a visitor down the aisle. Now, you do what your pastor says, but you know what I would do? Number one, I'd smile when you say hello to somebody. My name's Scott. What's your name? Thank you for coming to our church today. Are you a Dusher? No wonder you have to go to church. You don't even have a choice. Okay, so you're the preacher's kid. Do you shake hands with every person that comes to the door? You better. I was a preacher's kid. My dad pastored for 33 years. These guys that say, you know, I don't want to go to ministry because I'm a preacher's kid. That's stupid. You've been given everything. God placed you in a pastor's home. You couldn't ask for anything more. I went to school to be a school teacher, and I got a degree in history and PE. But you know what my real education was? That wasn't a joke. That's true. I history and PE. You think history and PE is funny? Is he from your church? That's your son? Oh, my goodness. I'm going to tell you both. I'm going to tell you something. I'm cutting my time short. I need to stop. I'm going to tell you in front of everybody. I wouldn't trade being a pastor's kid for anything in the world. And you're going to have maybe your ups and downs in life, but I want to tell you something. Train up a child in the way you should go. You should never leave what you've been taught. This foolishness of people telling you, well, you're brainwashed. Everybody else is brainwashed. They're watching a television. They're going to public school. I'm talking about brainwashed. When I was 16 years old, I was wondering if what I was taught was true. I was raised in a Christian home my life. My dad was my only pastor. I've only been to two churches in my life, the one I grew up in and the one I'm pastoring. So I sat down with a notebook, and I still have them. I sat down with a notebook in my Bible and a Strong's Concordance and everything my dad taught me. I just wanted to find out if it was in the Bible or not. Now, my dad had a couple things that were a little different. He thought a guy shouldn't wear wire-rimmed glasses. I couldn't find a Bible verse on wire-rimmed glasses, and I couldn't really find that it was a fad, so I don't have that conviction. My dad thought it was wrong for a boy to wear pleated pants because pleats were on a girl's skirt. He thought it was wrong for a guy to have pleated pants. Now, to this day, I still don't wear pleated pants, but I couldn't really find a Bible verse for that one. So I wrote down what I was taught, and then I wrote down every verse I could find about that belief as a 16-year-old to figure out, what about if I was raised in a Mormon family? Would I just believe what I was told? Guys, what makes us different is not about our parents. What makes us different is that what the Bible does not change. Now, I'm telling you guys, whether you know it or not, you got people in your boat. And I want to tell you what you should do when it comes to our boat. You ought to be cheering people up. When it comes to people in your boat, you ought to give them a word from God. And when it comes to people in your boat, you ought to be telling people about Jesus Christ. And where I was going with him a moment ago is this. When a person walks in the doors of the Heritage Baptist Church, you know, I'm going to talk about Christ and salvation, even if I'm not preaching on Christ and salvation, I'm going to mention it during the service. But I can't tell you how many people walk up to a stranger and they'll just say, hey, listen, do you know for sure you're on your way to heaven? I had one person who was saved that was visiting our church. He says, I want to tell you something. Coming to your church makes me wonder if I really am saved. He says, I've never had that many people ask me if I know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. Now, I can't say it's very many, probably 3 or 4 or 5 people. But if it's somebody that you don't know and God brings them to you, you ought to ask them, hey, listen, or at least give them a gospel tract. Tell them this how you can know for sure. Hey, there's people in your boat, and they might be strangers to you. Those 275 people, Paul didn't even know most of them by name. But they were in his boat, so guess what he's going to do? I just want to warn you. And by the way, there is a real heaven, there is a real hell, and we're supposed to be warning people. And it doesn't matter if you're a boy or girl. You're supposed to warn somebody. Last but not least, I've gone longer than I should. Let me give you this last thing. Verse number 33. Am I okay? Do you want me to stop? Okay. Verse number 33, the Bible says this. It says, and while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat. That's how you know he's a Baptist. Amen. He's ready to eat again. This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore, I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. I'm going to stop because of time, but I just want to, here's the last thing. Can I tell you, here Paul is, it's 14 days. They haven't eaten. He knows everything's going to be destroyed, but they're all going to make it out alive. And Paul says, I believe God, and I'm just trying to tell you something. It's going to be okay. You need to eat something. You're weak, you're tired, you're scared. And so Paul blesses the food in front of them all, 275 people, and he eats, and he says, now, you need to eat. They ate, and they were of good cheer. Now, you know how to gather from that? In Paul's boat, people he didn't even know, he was worried about their health. The word health is there. You need to eat this for your health. Now, I want to tell you something. He was concerned about people, and some have compassion making a what? Difference. I don't know. Well, it's just my brother or sister. You know, who cares? You ought to care. People that are in this church here, church family, listen to Bethel Baptist Church. You're going to have people that come to this church, and they're going to come and they're going to sit in the same spot. They're not going to get up. They're not going to shake hands with anybody else. But you ought to go to them and care about them. Hey, do you ever get to the place where you're kind of careful on which people you ask, how are you today? There are some people I don't ask that question. I make statements, I don't ask questions. It's good to see you today. But church, I mean, can I tell you the reason we ask those kind of questions is because we're concerned about the welfare of somebody else. You know the problem, he said it a few moments ago as far as our marriages. You know what the problem with a lot of our marriages are? We don't care anymore. We don't care. We don't care what they think. We don't care if they're taken care of. You know the 13 things a husband's supposed to do for his wife? Love her, honor her, cherish her, nourish her, cleave to her, be ravished with her love, rule over her, pray for her, be an example to her, know her, rejoice with her, be kind to her, and not be bitter against her. Do you know what a woman's supposed to do for her husband? I don't have those memorized. But I will tell you this, there's only 6 of them. You find it interesting that God gives you twice as many things you're supposed to do for your wife, and we barely get to one of them. I'm just trying to tell you that there's people in your boat. Now, and I'm done, but I want to tell you, Brother Stowe, when I'm preaching and I know there's people out there that are having a hard time, I do my best not to think about them against me because I'm not against them. I'm not against them. I'm supposed to care for them. The Good Samaritan, capital S, was Jesus Christ. And you know what he said? Go and do likewise. That's what we're supposed to do. Brother Davidson, how old are you, Brother Davidson? Are you seriously 80 years old? 61? 71? 80? I'm a young 57. Brother Jason, I personally sometimes I feel like the older I get, and I guess that's not old, maybe, I don't know. But I have a tendency not to care. You know, in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, it talks about when we age, the Bible says desire faileth. You know, I had an old pastor one time, he was asked a question. He says, how do you know when you need to step down? And he was talking to a group. He said, you know what? I knew it was time to step down, that when somebody came for me to counsel, I wanted to kill them. That's a red flag. I think I probably should stop. Let's just go ahead and pray. Church family, listen, I'm going to tell you something. You got people in your boat. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor. It doesn't matter if you've got a family. And I'm telling you, we're supposed to do the same thing Paul did for the people in his boat. We need to cheer them up. We need to give them a word from God. We need to care about them, and we need to warn them. And it doesn't matter if it's a pastor boat. It doesn't matter if it's a family boat. It doesn't matter if it's a friend boat. You have people that you influence. Them that sail with thee. You're not with them. Them that sail with thee. Would you bow your head and close your eyes this morning? Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for your word and the power of it. Lord, I ask you to please help us just to stop right now, right in our seat. May we just think about the people in our boat. Lord, help us, Father, Lord, to do what Paul did. And Lord, may we not forget, Lord, that you've given them to us and us to them to influence them for your honor and your glory. Lord, you're a great God. Thank you for all the people that you've given to influence us. None of us would be where we're at today if it wasn't for the influence of others. No man's an island to himself. God, thank you. Help us, Father, Lord, influence others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand, and let's just take a few minutes. If you want to come to the altar or kneel where you're at, I think it's a good opportunity for us to say, look at ourselves and say, how am I doing with my influence? So as the piano begins to play and we won't sing, just if you want to come forward or just take some time there at your pew, now to say, Lord, help me with my influence. God, help me to be a good example. A good testimony to those that are in my boat. Would you come? All right, now God's people said. Well, those younger people sure can preach. All right, turn your hymnals to page 255. It's Still the Blood. Still the Blood. We'll sing all three verses of this one this morning. It's Still the Blood.